Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, welcome back to Stacking Jacks. I'm Tom Ali's Mr. Weber on the board. SP Futures down 24. Dow Futures down 197. NASDAQ Futures down 117. We were down. We were up yesterday, and now we're down today roughly, well, let me look for sure here, Kevin. I literally don't want to make a false statement. Don't act like a politician. We are down, in the Dow a little bit more than yesterday. S&P not as much. S&P almost a Fibonacci. Return Fibonacci. You know, if you did the beard, you might be able to do a Fibonacci look. Just saying.
Yeah, I could, but I won't.
No.
So we're talking. We're talking Johnny Cash bumper music here.
Yeah.
What? We're in a ring of fire here. We're going to go down.
That's what I'm going to ask you, because now you're every man. Because now the market is turning more into what maybe every man thinks is going on with the world or the election. What do you think's going on here? We had a Amazon and Apple disappointing a little in the close after the earnings last night, and we had some stuff going on. What do you think? Are we are five companies going to be able to hold us all up here, or what?
Well, it's uncertainty time. Nobody knows what even the next week is going to bring. So I don't know why people would be gung ho on anything in particular right now.
No, what do you think of Walmart?
I think from an investment standpoint, that's probably where we are. You know, I get the other forces that we've talked about for, you know, months, years, whatever.
Well.
But, I do understand that. But right now is a just time of total uncertainty. It's interesting that that so many people who were, you know, just said it's a rock-solid win for Biden are now kind of in the camp of hold my breath.
I don't think it is, actually.
I think the electoral, that too, but the electoral map is kind of interesting, because if Trump takes Florida and then you start watching Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter what the popular vote's going to tell you at that point. That's going to be really tough for Biden to overcome it.
Yeah, well, what would, if that were gone just like that, what happens with the popular vote? Could it be 6?
I don't know. Does it matter? We're not built that way.
Currently.
Well, or for the foreseeable future. I don't want to get into that argument with you, Tom. We've had that plenty of times.
I just wonder. Everything has a.
You know, it is the design of the system. It is not just the way the system has fallen. It's the design of the system. So, if you want to undo it, fine. Good luck. Have a happy amendment party. But I don't think you're going to make it happen.
I always look at what's the in my business, Kevin. My curiosity points always are. Amazon gets the ride herd over everybody else. Gets to basically kick ass on taxes, get every conceivable plus they possibly can from these local people that are so friggin' ignorant, I can't even get over it, that they'll give those guys basically tax basis because they're competing with another village or county. And then when they realizing that they're competing essentially to pay for the guy that they know is putting their other places out of business. And they're helping them with the taxes, but everything has an edge to it. As we used to play the People's Choice, they had that one ignorant pitcher. We were supposed to take one step, and he would take like four or five. Well, someday, somewhere, when the guy's pitching from left field, there's a limit to everything. And I'm saying somewhere that the limit on the, I don't think 3 million is a number, probably not four or five, but if you ever got to a, everybody in California and Illinois or somebody voted, it could be the other way around. It could be a, could be the Democrat, I mean, not just always a Republican. If it got to 20 million someday, I think there's, I just don't know what the, there's a spot there where people are going to say this isn't right. And maybe no.
But perhaps, Tom, but I don't know that those two are possibilities. At some point, you can't, you know, California and New York can't give you a plus 20 million advantage. I suppose it's mathematically possible, but the probability of it is so slim that we aren't going to see that. So what you're really talking about is, you know, to get that kind of a popular vote advantage, you're going to start seeing all kinds of states change one direction or another, and in which case the I'm going to keep calling it the Electoral College because I like that better anyway. But that's, you know, that's just going to, it's going to flip with it.
Because I
just don't think you can make the math work otherwise.
I guess what my concern is, as usual, are always the anecdotal stuff. In Illinois, we'll never see a presidential candidate. Because whether the Republicans get 100,000 extra votes or the Democrats do, doesn't make any difference anywhere. So tell me in any kind of democracy where that should be.
It shouldn't, except that because we've ceded so much power to the executive branch, that's a problem. But otherwise, you get plenty of House of Representatives, you get, you know, the Senate candidates that Illinois gives us tend to be kind of a joke, but when you start looking at the House of Representatives throughout the state, then you do start to get the representative government, as long as the House of Representatives reclaims its authority, which it just somehow has refused to do over the years.
Do you think the right now the way it is, do you think it's even possible? Without a, I'll use the term, but if you or I got elected and we brought the other guy with as an advisor, we would want that to happen from the federal side because we realize it's out of whack this way. How many people would feel that way in the Oval Office? Bush sure didn't.
Well, it isn't even the Oval Office. It's the parties. The parties like it when they have the authority. And, you know, how many times have we seen that? You know, that if you ask the question, how would you feel about the other side having the power you just granted to yourselves?
Yeah.
You know, what did we see? What did we see with the Supreme Court this last month? We saw the results of Harry Reid's actions that were really wonderful for his party at the time. And a lot of people said, are you really sure you want this to happen? Because one day the Republicans are going to have the
what exactly did he do?
Numbers and you're going to be screwed.
What exactly did he do?
He eliminated for federal judges the 60% for cloture.
No, is it still there?
They always call it the filibuster. It's not really a filibuster in the classic sense, but he's the guy who eliminated the filibuster for federal judges.
Well, it used to be that you actually had people would filibuster, and then the vote was to shut the guy up for cloture. So it essentially was.
That's. But now you know the way it worked is you needed 60 votes to bring anything to the floor for a vote.
Well, it became people and became too lazy to filibuster and became a gentleman's filibuster rule.
Well, the 60% rule was the reason to that you didn't have to filibuster. You had to get more than just a majority. You had to get enough to start thinking that you had consensus. Maybe you weren't all the way to consensus because consensus requires a lot more people to say I can live with the result. But you had to have 60%, and it was very rare that a party would have the 60% that they needed to control everything. They actually did the first 2 years of the Obama administration. They actually did have for lack of a better word, a filibuster. yet they didn't get Obamacare done in time, and really had to use some serious shenanigans to engineer that, and they didn't touch what was promised to be the top priority, and that is immigration reform. They didn't touch that at all, even though they could have put through a comprehensive reform package any way they wanted, because they had more than 60, you know, they had 60 votes in the Senate, and they had the House.
Well, this is not the...
That, I mean, if you're a Democrat, that's where you should be looking and saying, geez, that's the biggest squandered opportunity they ever had.
Well, this is the this is not the real me talking. This is the evolved me, in the sense that this is what the world has done to me. If I would, I honestly believe one of the articles, I got to dig it up here. I got it somewhere buried. I'll use the term filed. So, you know, filed sounds much better than buried, doesn't it? Just saying. Nixon's...
It's burying things on the desk is a filing system.
Yes, it is.
You know which pile it's in, don't you?
Yes. Well, Tricky Dick's son-in-law, who is still alive, obviously, he's writing articles. They asked him, works for one of these think tanks. Isn't that one of the daughters married the Eisenhower kid, right? And the other one married this other guy. Well, this is the other guy. The other guy, as they say in the South Side. And he wrote this article. They asked him, what do you think, when is going to happen with the... when's the politics going to become more civil? And he said, not till we hit bottom, and we haven't hit bottom yet. Well, we're heading that way, I think.
Yeah, we're pretty darn close.
Yeah, we're getting there. And I think what the Democrats have to do is, let's assume for a second, Trump sneaks back in, wins, not sneaks back in. It's not, Trump wins, the Democrats get the Senate. On day one, they just say, for the 4 years you're here, better hope nobody croaks the Supreme Court, don't even bring somebody by here, because we're waiting until the next president comes in. Now,
that would be their prerogative.
Which I think is stone-cold ignorant, yet it is the bottom. It's as low as you can go. Telling the new guy, under no circumstances are we going to vote on any one of your people, appeals, or we just better hope not too many of them die.
What if he were to bring Merrick Garland in front of him?
I'm just saying, we're not bringing anybody.
But isn't that, I mean, ultimately that's the point of the process, is to bring forward a candidate who is acceptable to the Senate. So if you had that majority, you could very well, that could be part of the cure.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to have to find a candidate that is acceptable to the Senate, and one that I can live with, I want an eight-person court.
But
definitely.
But the ignorant Republicans, not the ignorant Democrats, aren't the same way, basically said, wait a minute, no, 8 months or whatever it was when the guy's going to be in election, or he's certainly not coming back. I mean, Trump could come back, so there's a slight difference. No, we're not going to vote on anybody. So the only way we can come together as human beings is to say, I'm taking it to the absolute extreme. Okay, you didn't give me my pizza delivery till 4 hours after I wanted it. Guess what? I'm the new pizza place. I'm never going to bring it over. I'm taking your money. And I'm never bringing it over. Somehow we've reached the stage now where we have to say, look, we got to come to some kind of a gentleman's agreement or something that all of us realize is that for anybody who's an outgoing president, 6 months is the number, or 4 months, or I don't care when it is, Kevin. But I don't want a mealy-mouthed piece of crap like McConnell saying, no way on earth is 6 months appropriate. Oh, by the way, 6 days is appropriate. And then
what really needs to happen, Tom, is for people to just be honest.
Yes.
If the Republicans had been honest at the time, they would have said, Judge Garland is not acceptable to us, so we are not going to vote for him. We are not going to, you can give him a vote on the floor or not. That's entirely up to you, or you can say it's never getting out of committee. Doesn't really matter. Just be honest. That's all. Say, you know what, not acceptable. We don't have to confirm him, and we're not going to.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That to me would make sense, and then we're fine. Then we figure out, how we want to deal with that. Voters can figure out what they think of it. All of those things that come into play, because that's essentially what they were doing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They just cloaked it in kind of this, we need to let the voters decide. And on the other side of that equation, of course, we had the Democrats saying, oh, no, you know, so both sides flipped their positions on this.
Oh, sure.
So it was, you know, it typical, you know, typical Washington hypocrisy. What's the actor's name? Fred Thompson was a senator for a term from Tennessee, and when he left the Senate and went back to acting, he said, "Boy, after a lot of time, after spending 6 years in Washington, I really miss the sincerity and genuineness of Hollywood."
I was kind of hoping. I was sorry when AK caught cancer and died. I thought he was president material. I liked him.
Which guy?
The guy you were just talking about.
Oh, Fred Thompson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was never into it. A lot of people, you know, he could have been very good.
I think he was not into,
you know,
it because...
Policy-wise, I was fine with him, and as an actor, he is good at delivering a message and, you know, crafting and delivering a message, but he never really fought for it, so...
I think he never...
I think he got pushed into running, and he didn't really want to.
I have no idea. I'm not the man's doctor. I have a feeling he was bouncing back and forth to cancer the whole time he was there. That's probably why he was
there.
Could have
been.
Which would stop anybody from going further, I would say. Just saying. Hey, just so everybody knows for sure, the real Kevin O'Neill, you have to let us know if the Walmarts in your area are pulling out their guns and ammo today.
Not to my knowledge. I haven't been there for a while.
Well, no, I'm asking. I'm asking here, does the Walmart in your area have guns and ammo? That's what I'm really asking.
It's Indiana, Tom. Of course they have guns. Well, you know what? I don't even know that. To tell you the truth, I can't say I've ever observed guns for sale in Walmart. But like I said, I don't shop there very much. We use their pharmacy over in Niles. So it's kind of get in, hit the pharmacy, and maybe on occasion run over and pick something up on the store side. But
I was going to say, maybe run over and pick up some shelves.
Kind of peruse that part of the business.
Well, the one in Steamboat, I remember going in there, and it's not a very big one. The first thing you run into is the guns and ammo spot. None of the ones around here in Chicago have it, that I know of. But they say half the stores have it. And by the way, they're pulling all that out before the election because they were worried about an insurrection. Have you heard that or not?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering whose insurrection worries them most.
I don't think they care as long as people start firing bullets. Of course, if you don't have enough bullets now, you're not going to get any. I mean, they're pretty much out anyway, so just saying.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is are they more worried about Trump supporters getting nutty, or are they more worried about Democrats getting
they
nutty?
Did not, they did
been
not,
getting nutty all summer.
They did not
That's
opine.
Coming from the left.
What I'm reading is that they're definitely more worried about the Democrats because they're doing it for fears of civil unrest. So the way I read that is if Trump wins, they don't want people breaking into the stores and stealing the guns and ammo, so they're taking them off the shelves.
Preemptively.
Okay. A riot in Steamboat?
Because there's been, obviously, instances of people breaking into stores all summer long, and if Trump wins, they're predicting that could happen again, and they don't want guns and ammo available.
I see.
Remember what Lou said back at the beginning of the process? The election process, all the Democrats have to do to win is not be crazy, and they can't do it.
You can't do it. Well, I think my feelings on Trump since the day I booed him at Cubs Park 20 years ago, and the fact that all the people I know that he never paid, certainly have been on, you know, that doesn't mean the man didn't have some serious instincts that needed to be brought to the Oval Office for the first time in a while. And he really disappointed the hell out of me because he was the guy that came in there, and he may get another 4 years, who knows, but he was the guy that was the third-party guy that I've been looking for he wasn't the third-party guy, but he really was. He was the guy that could have potentially changed Washington for the better because I think it's been going down a rat hole for quite some time, and he pretty much didn't do it. Now, whether some of it was... a lot of people didn't give him a chance, and I honestly believe that. But I also know the more he tripped himself up and then attacked the people who weren't giving him the chance, the worse it got. It became the Hatfields and McCoys, and I honestly don't know who was more to blame. But I think there was a way, there's a way with personality that you could have somehow salved the media a little bit. You got them, maybe not necessarily on your side.
You do consider how they torpedoed them, though. They, you know, they launched this entire Russia investigation without, you know, apparently without cause, because, you know, when you consider how long the Mueller team investigated and walked away with nothing, you have to believe that if there was something there, they would have had it. So, you know, that was going on, and everything we've learned, especially through the Flynn case, since then, and also, you know, when they released the testimony behind closed doors to the congressional committees about from people like Clapper and Brennan, and asked if they had specifically, do you have evidence of collusion? And the answer was no in private, and then in public they were out screaming from the mountaintop. And Adam Schiff with his collusion in plain sight. Which never came to fruition. So then the next thing is they impeached him for what today is looking like a totally legitimate question.
Well,
about what the Biden family was up to Ukraine.
I'd rather not.
I mean, you know, they've done everything they can to stop the guy, and yet we still, you know, that probably the crowning achievement that they've had is the is what's happened in the Middle East in recent months. You know, they just announced another deal, another Muslim country. With a peace agreement with Israel in Sudan, and that was all built around a strategy of canceling the Iran deal and then isolating Iran so that there was no reason for anybody to align with that side. Everybody before him had said, no, you got to solve the Palestinian issue before you get any other agreements in place. And that isn't the way it worked out. In some ways, he has been the outsider who changed some things. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if Biden wins. I don't know if they're going to go back to, back to the Iran deal. But I sure hope they don't, because getting out of that has been arguably the best thing that the United States could have done.
Without getting into all that, way too late. The guy surrounded himself with every sleazebag on earth in his campaign.
Well, not every sleazebag.
Well, you missed a few. The McConnell group did the same thing to Obama, who arguably did nothing
Did they launch a congressional investigation against Obama?
What I'm saying is he didn't leave himself open.
Did they impeach Obama?
They didn't leave himself. They would have. The fact is, they wanted him out just as bad.
Well, that's definitive, Tom.
The man said, back that up. There was a quote someplace, and I'll find it from McConnell. My job in the next 4 years is to get this man out of office.
That's fine. That's not an. It wasn't. It was to get him.
What I'm saying is,
the next
Obama.
That was not to impeach him.
Obama essentially did nothing, so there was nothing to go after. You know, I mean, he didn't have a bunch of losers like Manafort and Cohen running around paying people off. I mean, Trump was his own worst enemy. Again, I'm trying to defend the guy here. You're not even letting me.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, Trump is his own worst enemy. That guy would step on every time he did something successful, he would come out and make some dumbass pronouncement that was controversial and step all over his own accomplishments. He's an idiot.
Well, what I'm saying is.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against that.
I'm saying the motivation that McConnell had against Obama was not that much different. It played out a lot differently. Okay, because Obama was a much more, in most people's minds, a much more likable guy. The family was pretty much together. I mean, he wasn't running around, you know, grabbing chicks behinds and stuff. He didn't give them any of that ammunition. It doesn't mean that they didn't secretly try to torpedo the guy as much as they did this guy. Or almost as, I mean, from a congressional level. And it, somehow or another, Kevin, that's gotta stop on both sides.
Well, and again, there were times during the Obama years, that the Republicans had both the House and the Senate, and they didn't come close to doing anything to him that the legislative body has done to Trump.
What were you going
to
impeach him for? He didn't do anything. No, I mean, he didn't...
Say that again?
What were you going to impeach him for? He didn't do anything.
Oh, Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there was anything impeachable, but what did Trump do that was impeachable?
I'm saying we only got a minute, but we don't want to go down this road, but we can do it for a minute. He put himself around all these losers, and one of the losers, just like him, is Hunter Biden. All these international gadflies he somehow got himself involved in. God, Kevin, you can't sleep with dogs and wake up without fleas.
What's the Hunter Biden connection here? Make that
just,
one.
He's just another sleazebag, just like these other sleazebags. That's how many of these people are.
What's his association with Trump?
Nothing, other than that Biden surrounded himself with one of those guys, his son, where Trump had 10 of them.
No, it's the whole damn Biden family. It's Jim Biden.
Whatever.
Getting contracts in Iraq during the Obama administration. It's his other brother. I can't remember the other brother's name. Getting contracts, and these guys are getting contracts in businesses where they have no experience.
Everybody,
the only reason is because of dad's influence.
Well,
and
duh.
Now, if you've read the information there. There also is money set aside for, quote, the big guy.
Why do you suppose, what's his name, the previous Secretary of Treasury became Secretary of Treasury? Did you read in the thing I sent you regarding the how Trump got involved, how he's weaseled out of his debts here in Chicago, which a lot of people do, right? One of the places he got money from was Mnuchin's place. Do you think that had anything to do with him becoming Secretary of Treasury and being able to trade ahead of this crap for 4 years? I mean, it's so intertwined on both sides. The whole place needs to be cleaned out. The smartest thing Trump said was, we got to drain the swamp. And then he didn't do it. SP Futures up 20, down 21, NASDAQ Futures down 116. And I don't think anybody could do it, though, Kevin. I'm not blaming him for that, honestly. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Well, welcome back, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Excuse me, I was reaching for the air sickness bag because I was reading about the Trump Tower story here in Chicago. I had to reach for it, Manny, because of all the people involved. The one thing the man said was he had to drain the swamp, and he didn't do it. SP futures down 22, NASDAQ futures down 124, Dow futures down 163. Again, individual stocks. We got Apple down 482. It was up when the numbers came out, and then, of course, they had no guidance, but then they had a bunch of people came out afterward and said the reason why they didn't give guidance, what a great company is now, it's better, going to be even better. They didn't want to be that optimistic, which is such, whatever. Google, however, is up $96. They were the big winner last night. They came out with, they beat earnings pretty good. Amazon was up, like 90 yesterday, and then it closed down, now it's down 43 today, trading 31.67. So things are kind of, all over the black. You know, like I said, who knows where they'll end up today. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 4, call that flat. FTSE up 1, call that flat. They must be tired of the heat going on this week. They're all not doing much today. CAC around up 27.6. We've got a couple of minus 3% days over there, so they use the term resting. Over in Nikkei, finally is heading south. They're down 354, 1.5%. Shanghai down 48, 1.5%. Hang Seng down almost 500 at 2%. So for the first time in a while, they're all going the same direction, and the direction is down. As a review, yesterday Dow up 139.5%, S&P up 39.1%, NASDAQ up 180.6%. This is after 3% down moves the day before, so not even a Fibonacci bounce. I'm going to say we're 35% back we came yesterday. Bonds, 10-year 0.83, which is up from where it was yesterday. Bund, minus 0.63. Japan, positive points, almost, whoa, positive 0.04. So it's stuck up a basis point. Oil up a penny, but 36.18. Ouch. It's down $6 in the last 2 weeks, so that's 15%. That's a lot. Brent down, up 5 cents, 37.70. Natural gas, 3.29. So, Maddie, there must be going to be some cold weather someplace. Or else it's all about this,
How about here?
Everybody buying propane for outdoor restaurants. Arbob, $1.04. And we've last but not least, gold is up 680, 1784, but still way under 19. Silver up 16 cents, 23.52. Betty, we have for us traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start on the area expressways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. We do have quiet expressways coming from the west on the Eisenhower, too. No accidents to report. Same for the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking good. Lakeshore Drive is quiet as far as traffic is concerned. We do have a Lakeshore flood advisory, though, that says it's in effect for Chicago until 10 a.m. Today. So be alert for rising water near the lake, including Lakeshore Drive, but no issues of that affecting traffic.
Manny, we're on the ninth floor. Might be alert for rising water.
I think we're okay up here. We also have a closure on 47th Street between South Woodlawn Avenue and South Lake Park Avenue due to closed for filming. They're filming one of the many shows or movies that are filmed here. That says that's going to last until 2 p.m. today, so that'll be closed. The only accident causing issues right now is out in the suburbs. There's a rollover semi on Route 53 eastbound just before Beesterfield Road, and that's causing significant congestion as Route 53 on the eastbound side is reduced to two lanes. With crews on the scene working to get that semi cleaned up. And then just east of there, there's a crash in Bensonville, Myers Road at Beeline Drive. But everything else is quiet out there. Weather today, another cold, blustery day. We will be sunny, but a high of just 42 with wind chills in the upper 20s and low 30s. And I'm playing golf today, so who's the real idiot? Right now it's clear and 33 going up to a high of 42. For our Phoenix listeners, returning to normal down in Phoenix after they've had a cold stretch by their standard. Sunshine with a high of 87 today. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, the big local news of the day was the White Sox making a splash by bringing 76-year-old Tony La Russa out of retirement to take over as their manager after they fired Rick Renteria after they made the playoffs for the first time since 2008. La Russa is a Hall of Famer who hasn't managed in several years, but was a three-time World Series winner, once with the A's and two times with the Cardinals. He was fired by the White Sox in the 80s, as you'll recall, Chief, by Jerry Reinsdorf and Hawk Harrelson, who at that time was the general manager. He was fired by the Sox. That was his first managerial job, but he is taking over a young upstart team, and he's excited for the challenge. So Tony La Russa, your new White Sox manager. Lastly, Thursday Night Football last night, it was Atlanta beating Carolina 25-17. Chief.
Is it true that the first two names on the list were Billy Martin and Lito DeRocher?
Well, you know, the only manager that's ever been hired to take over a team that's older than Tony La Russa was Jack McKeon, who we remember back in 2003. He took over mid-season for the Marlins, and they got hot, and they had a really good young team, and somehow he was an old white guy that was able to relate to the young Latin players that they had on that team with, you know, Miguel Cabrera and those guys. And they stormed into the playoffs and broke our hearts here on the north side as they came back from 3-1 down to beat the Cubs, as we all remember, in the Bartman series. And then they smoked the Yankees in the World Series and won the World Series. So, you know, La Russa's young compared to that.
How old was Casey when he took over the Mets?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Not
older than La Russa.
How old would Leo be? He'd be a little older. Just saying. God. Anyway, Kevin, I sent you this article regarding whenever you read these articles, you know, you sort of get the anyway, this is an article regarding the bomb of the Trump Hotel here in Chicago, and you know, Trump ended up getting banks forgiven loans and stuff. Now this is in 2008, so a lot of this happened, but whenever you read this stuff, it's always interesting as the rights are all outraged about Hunter Biden and so forth. But here in the article, it couldn't help to notice. He went to his longtime, now of course he guaranteed it on a stack of Bibles that this was going to be a successful thing. I just heard somebody who told me one person bought one of the hotel rooms, Kevin, for like $350, and they just dumped it for like $120 or something. I mean, the place has been a disaster. Anyway, he had borrowed hundreds of million dollars from the German bank, and they've been, yes, for his overseas stuff, but the bank was anxious to get a foothold here in the U.S. So he assured Deutsche Bank officials, including, now here's a name, Justin Kennedy, the son of now retired Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. Gee, do you think he got that job? It just might have been you or me, but it just happened to be him to be on the board of Deutsche Bank. Hey, had anything to do with the daddy being a Supreme
Court? Hard to imagine anybody being connected like that.
Yeah, it's hard. Just saying. I mean, I want all this to stop, Kevin. All of it. And then the idea that the right keeps fighting with the left is who's worse. What a useless way to spend an afternoon. Let's just stop it all. I mean, the idea of who's worse, they're both bad. Who cares who's worse? If somebody's got 35 people in these roles and the other guys have 34, what difference does that make? Let's get all 69 of them out of there.
I'll salute that, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Now, strictly as a loyalty play, perhaps Trump will do a better job of cleaning house in the second in a second term if he were to have one, because because a lot of the people that he brought into his administration undermined him.
Okay.
So maybe he'll get smarter, but I've talked about, you know, his approach to hiring people in the past. He seems to get enamored of somebody real quickly, wants to get him on board, and he's not good at, you know, really judging the character, so it becomes very hit and miss. You know, you might get some good, you know, there have been some good people in there. I think he's done well with Pompeo. I think he's,
I was gonna say Pompeo, yeah.
You know, done reasonably well with Ben Carson, although Carson has kept a pretty low profile. But in some of the other positions, what was the guy's name from, the first Secretary of State?
Rex Tillerson.
Yeah, he was really all in on Rex Tillerson. Well, they never, you know, there was never a fit there. And so, you know, and that's just, you know, that hiring good people is like management job number one.
Well, the idea, did you ever, I want to read this next paragraph here, but did you ever sit with in rooms with engineers on projects? I'm sure you probably have, but.
I've managed network engineers. They all behave the same way.
Because then the Pullman guys, they all had their engineer's workbook. And if you were in a meeting and you said, one of the guys' name was Josh, what was his last name? Terrific guy. Josh had his book, and he would, every day, everything that everybody said, everything that he possibly said he was going to do was in the book. And if you said, gee, Josh, why don't you do that for me? All of a sudden, he'd go back to that page. Doesn't say here. I didn't say I was going to do it. If I did, it would say. I mean, the idea of that sort of a mind, which I'm sure Tillerson, who was an engineer, imagine him in the same room with Trump trying to have a discussion. On a personal level, I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong. There's zero fit there. You didn't tell me to do that. You told me to do this. Well, I meant this, but that's not what it said. It says right here.
Well, and you know, you don't hear as much about this as you did early in Trump's administration. But you know, he thought the president got to be like when he was a boss in industry. You know that he could just tell somebody to go do it, and they'd have to go do it.
Yeah.
And people didn't go do it for political reasons, and people didn't just go do it for legal reasons in many cases.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't how it works in government.
Just as I don't want to go this too far, maybe already too late, but if the Trump guaranteed $40 million of the 730 out of Deutsche Bank, all right, personally, Trump went out to Fortress Investment Group, a hedge fund and private equity company, for $130 million. This was a so-called mezzanine loan, whatever the hell that is, which meant that it would be repaid only after the Deutsche Bank debt had been satisfied. Because of the greater risk, the Fortress loan came with a double-digit interest rate. The agreement with Fortress also required Trump's 401 Mez Venture, which is the name of which is the building, to repay a $49 million exit fee when it repaid the loan, which is interesting. If Trump defaulted, his lenders could seize the building. Deutsche Bank and Fortress both planned to chop up the loans and sell at least some of the pieces. Deutsche Bank sold them mostly to American, European, and Asian banks. Fortress mostly to private equity and hedge funds, including Dune Capital Management. Ding, 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 which had recently been co-founded by Steven Mnuchin, the future Treasury Secretary. So they got stiff, too. So his reward for that is the Treasury job. Now, in the Treasury job, do you think he feels it was okay, since Trump stiffed him on the building, to recoup some of the stuff by trading while he's in there? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the morality of the man is. But clearly, there's a lot of money to be made in that job if you want to, if you're not exactly ready for prime time morally. Now, has he gotten that back? Not. Is the FaceTime good enough? I mean, I don't know. I mean, when you start tracing all these names through all these old deals, I just think it sucks. I don't know how to stop it, but I just think it sucks. And I'm sure that
I liked Mnuchin better when he was a movie producer, which was his last job before he came into the administration. I enjoyed Wonder Woman, and Gal Gadot is...
But now, did his piece of this, I'll pick a number. Say he was at $130 million. Let's say he was a tenth of it. So he's $13 million. That could be wrong. Say $10 million. Now, did he manage to get the money back trading from the spot? Did he say one had nothing to do with the other? You guys are still stiffed. I'm just going to become a Treasury Secretary. I don't know, Kevin. It just kind of smells, doesn't it? It just does. What can I tell you?
Well, it does, and I agree with you. It smells. The only thing I would say as a counter is that the way media and congressional investigators have gone after Trump and the Trump administration, that if there were something there, there's a reasonable probability that it would have been brought forward. Either that or they're just really, really good at covering their tracks.
You mean to
but
tell
what
me?
What we've learned, if nothing else, is that hardly anybody is really good at covering his tracks.
You mean to tell me that if there's been some trading, with all the insider trading that maybe they go after for some guy in Hong Kong or somebody, do you think that somebody would have caught a phone call where before a Treasury announcement somebody bought or sold 30 spoofs?
They
wouldn't even look at
but
it.
But if on the other hand, if you were starting to see trends of activity tied to them, I have to believe that somebody's going to identify that. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're just too dumb.
I don't think they're even looking. You think the SEC would come out tomorrow and say that?
No, I'm not talking about the SEC. I'm talking about political opponents and media opponents.
You have no ability whatsoever as a political opponent, as a newsman, to find out what somebody traded here at PTI. Zero. Without a warrant.
Do you not have the ability to take a look at corporate trade activity?
What do you mean? No. I'm talking about private people.
Yeah, well, can't help you with that.
No, I mean, how does anybody find that out? It's like your GI records of your doctor. You can't get them.
Right. So in that case, yeah, you need somebody to blab.
Yeah. I mean, come on, and these guys are all this stuff's over. Whatever. I mean,
What I'm saying is the issue hasn't even been raised. It's like,
right.
You know, I get people all the time who say to me, you know, you talk about what the Biden family's doing, and someone will say, well, what about the Trump family? Do you think they're not doing the same thing?
Yeah,
and
my
answer to that is, do you think if one of Trump's kids was pulling any of this same stuff that it would be ignored at this point?
Oh, but
as much as they've gone after him, of course not. So you know, maybe they'll find something later. Maybe they'll find something after he's out of office. Who knows? They may. And I'm not saying they won't. And I'm not saying these are, you know, the cleanest group of people or they're clean as the driven snow. They're not. But the point is that you have people who exist. You know, whose existence over the last 4 years has just been to go after him. You would think that they would have come up with something.
But Kevin, it's a simple. Unfortunately, you know, you're from the north side, but if you're from the south side, this is so easy. I mean, whether it's
played a lot of ball on the south side.
Yeah, I know.
Tom, I'm an honorary member.
I know you were on my team, but I mean, if it's this Supreme Court justice's kid or it's Hunter Biden's kid, if they're going to say how did you, or
Mitt Romney's kid or John Kerry's kid, keep going because they're all in this.
Well, what I'm saying is it could be as simple as. I was going to go to where the medical marijuana here in the city, where they talk about how many minorities don't have places. They didn't apply, Kevin. I mean, you got to like Saul, the big guy upstairs said to Saul about the lottery ticket. You got to meet me halfway. I'm going to say that you could easily duck behind Joe Biden saying, "Hey Hunter, you're not doing anything," or who was the guy who was the former Treasury guy? Whatever, he screwed up in school. His dad got him a big job in Washington. The guy wrote the book, tells his name. It was before Munchkin. I'll think of his name in a second. Who's to say, hey Hunter, hey Matt Weber, you're not doing, actually Matt, he is doing okay. He's helping us out here and he has a real job. You're not doing squat. There's an opening. They're looking for a connected American guy on the utility board of, Ukraine. Why don't you make an application? So Matty makes the application. The only one who gets there, yeah, we'll take this guy. All they got to do is say, "Hey, we printed it on LinkedIn International, and the only guy that fit the bill sent the application in was Matt Weber. He got the job. So what? I mean, how do we know that? I mean, you can't say that you deserve the job on Deutsche Bank board. You didn't apply, Kevin. You wouldn't know.
I understand. Did you read any of the email transcripts or listen to any of the recordings, or listen to the testimony of the former business partner before you're saying that maybe, you know, throwing out these maybes?
Oh, no. What I'm saying is it's if you do it, I'm not talking about Biden personally. I'm saying how do we know that the person from the judge's kid didn't go through some process and he actually entered the process? I don't really.
Well, you don't know that. So you be suspicious when you see patterns,
yeah.
but individual cases you require some evidence.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that even though I'm not as out front with it as you are, Hunter Biden was the dumb kid, and the dumb kid you always do the stupid stuff for, right?
I don't think it was. I think he was Fredo.
Yeah, well, that's what
I meant. Him on irons.
That's what I'm saying. He was Fredo. the other kid, what managed to get in the army,
and
everything, right?
And where he really totally Fredoed out on it was, basically, I think of the Shel Silverstein song, "I Got Stoned and I Missed It."
Yeah.
He checked in that laptop at a repair place and then forgot all about it. Like the typical unreliable stuff that you get out of an addict.
I would bet that his
I'm smart.
Yeah, I'm smart. I would bet that his
yeah, I can do things. Not like they say.
What do you think? What do you think his this dude's tab is at the Ukrainian clubs?
I don't know. I probably would have really enjoyed hanging out with him for an evening or two.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind one of the cast-off ladies. Although that's not in your DNA, but I bet that even the cast-off ladies are pretty special. Just saying.
Yep. Hey, let's shift gears. One thing real quickly, though, I would be interesting to hear Wayne's take when he comes on about the Glenn Greenwald and his decisions of the last few days. So I sent you guys some articles about that. So I'd really be interested to hear what he says about that. What do you think? Tony La Russa.
Well, before I told you, Leo and Billy Martin were dead. They tried to interview them.
Is Dave Duncan still alive? Are we getting a new pitching coach? Is it going to be the Dave Duncan?
Well, Phil Reagan already went to, he's 80-something. Where'd he go, Boston? The guy from the Cubs?
Amazing, isn't it? Now, you know, I've heard La Russa interviewed in the last day or so, so it's not like it sounds like he's slowed down or anything.
No.
That's kind of interesting. You don't know what you're getting in the 70s with people, but certainly there's 70-year-old people are a lot more healthy or a lot healthier now than they once were. So on age alone, I don't care. I'm more concerned with how long has he been away from the game, and how relatable he'll be with some of the players.
My concern with Tony, I'm going to talk about the Big Ten here. My concern with Tony is he's in the Hall of Fame with a reputation that if you put on a shoelace that was slightly different color than everybody else's, he knew about it in a second. Yet he was shocked that there were steroids in his locker room. So
I have no kidding.
He's like the bishop. I'm shocked that there's, the mouse couldn't get across his church without him knowing about it. I'm shocked there's been bingo in this place for the last 40 years. Hey, what's the story with the Big Ten? They start canceling games without makeups. How many games are
there? Yeah, I don't know how they're going to make up games. Is Ohio State going
to
get in the playoffs with five games?
They're not going to make them up. The one with Nebraska, Wisconsin's flat ass canceled. They said last night on the radio they're not
and
making
then
up.
Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska tried to schedule like Tennessee Chattanooga, and the Big Ten shot them down.
Why did the Big Ten shoot
them
down?
Tried to schedule a replacement game.
Why did the Big Ten do that? Do you know?
I have no idea. I honestly don't. I can't. There's no logic behind it, but they did. It's what they did.
Well, you guys are into that game would not be in the Big Ten Network. There's nobody in the stands other than essentially a scrimmage for your players. There can't be a dime in the game. Tennessee Chattanooga. What's the point?
No.
Why couldn't you throw it on in place of the Nebraska-Wisconsin game if that was, I don't know what network that was going to be on, but the whole state of Nebraska would watch it.
I just said, if you're not going to have it in the Big Ten Network, it's not going to, if you are right, Matty, if you're just going to put it on anyway, yeah, why not? I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to read into what went into that decision, because if they got a team that agreed to play them, and, they get a game out of it, and even though it's a glorified, sort of cupcake exhibition game, it's still a game. I don't know why they...
Well, because...
Yeah, it sounds like it's the Big Ten decided that they weren't going to play any non-conference games, and so they're kind of, sticking with the rules are rules logic.
You guys...
Which is always brilliant.
You guys are my mavens. Clearly you both remember that 6 months ago, the Big Ten or the Nebraska told the Big Ten that if they weren't going to play football, they were going to play with the old Southwest Conference. Was that the Big Ten or the who are the guys with Texas and those guys?
The Big 12.
The Big 12. They wanted to play with them, and then the Big Ten came down and said, "Absolutely not! You can't do that." So, whatever the no vote is against Nebraska to put egg on their face, the guy's still telling them no.
Yeah, they're getting put in their place. Then.
Yeah. So if they came out tomorrow and said we have a cure for COVID, the answer would be no. I mean, that's kind of where Nebraska.
You see the other. Speaking of COVID, you see the other news. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson tested positive, so he's out this week, and they don't know about whether he is going to be available for Notre Dame next week.
Wow!
So much for the bubble. This thing is pretty contagious. And are any of these kids even sick? The answer is no.
No, well, that's my question is, does Lawrence have symptoms? Because if he doesn't have symptoms, he may 3 days from now test positive for the first time of like 2 or 3 days in a row, or test negative, excuse me.
Yeah.
So that may happen. And notice that the numbers keep holding, that you get to about 20%. So when a team has an outbreak, do they ever get more than 20% of the players have it, even though they're all totally exposed to each other?
Yeah,
it just the stats keep repeating themselves. It's called the statistical validation is called consilience.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So if the Big Ten, just of course, how could they make it up? What's the is there? You guys know better than me. Is there a gentleman's rule that says you really can't pay a game on that level? You can't pay two a week. I mean, I don't think you can. I mean, I don't
think you can do that to the athletes.
That's what I'm saying.
I already think it that they're, they're downright abusive in how they do it, because in that age group, the beating that the guys take is, they're not fully developed. Their bodies are not fully developed.
I agree. I mean,
it's damaging enough to do it to NFL players, but for what they get, for what they earn, and for where they are in their physical development, I think it's abusive as it is. Let alone, what's going to come down the pike for them.
But I guess there's no science behind 7 days. It just happens to be what a week is, right? I mean, what would the number if you actually look at somebody's body beat up after a football game? And you actually did a scientific study. What do you suppose the amount of days of recovery would be?
That you wouldn't practice for about 5 days. Heck, I remember how sore I was after a high school football game. You'd come up and poke me in the right by the shoulder on my top of my chest by the shoulder, and I'd jump.
Yeah. Well, what's his name?
So I would imagine that you're 5-6 days before you even practice, let alone, and then yeah. So 2 weeks might make more sense. But it's the weekends. It's the 7 days is scheduled because that gets you on the weekends every weekend.
Those guys must have a tough time when they play the Thanksgiving games. That's for sure.
I feel for the players, and I don't know why they don't build those Thursday games around. I don't know why they don't do a better job of building those Thursday games around bye weeks.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because they could put it right in, make that right in the middle of your 2 weeks.
All right, Kevin. And thank you very much, bud. Let's. Where do the Irish play?
Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's pretty bad.
Yeah, they got real awful all of a sudden. SP Futures down 26. NASDAQ Futures down 118. Be right back, Mr.
Wayne Matson.
Wayne Matson, yeah. I was going to say Carl, but Carl was last week. Wayne Matson.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, Base Action Jacks. I'm Holly. This is Matt Weber. I'm going to say, Matty, out of all the times you've ever played that song, I'm not so sure it's ever been more relevant than it is today. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. So we had to bring our friend Wayne Madsen back to make it all clear to us. Wayne, how are you, buddy? It's been a long time.
Oh, yes, I'm fine. It sort of feels like the days preceding the D-Day invasion of the coast of Normandy. You know, it's I see the same kind of angst in the faces of certain people.
Yeah, is hey, I was wondering. Kevin wanted us to ask you about the this Greenwald guy stuff and everything. And I before I mean, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to read a bunch of stuff, and which is hard for me to catch up because you've been watching this stuff your whole life. I'm trying to, how can I make an alliteration here? It's like, you know, somebody selling newspapers on the corner or selling water on the corner, and a few people know for years that the guy's really got some cigarettes and some marijuana cigarettes underneath the newspapers, and they've been available for like 25 years, and all of a sudden the rest of the neighborhood finds out about it and they're shocked. Well, are they shocked because they've been that dumb for 25 years, or are they shocked because he was selling the hooch under the... I mean, I never could quite figure that out. And this guy's talking about the various groups that went to China and did Joe Biden and the kids end up with a deal and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, but I suspect you've been on a couple of those, I use the term junkets, and I just want you to paint a picture, if you can, of what goes on and what's expected. I mean, I remember going all the way back to when Kissinger did the ping pong diplomacy, or he didn't go on and play ping pong, but like the first group to China. Actually, my cousin, or my mother's cousin, was on one of these things, and he was with this. He was representing this big mining firm. I mean, when you get on Air Force One, even before they had the 747, and a smaller plane, there's a certain amount of businessmen. I'm just saying what I know. Then you correct me.
Yeah.
That have somehow paid through the nose, either by in those days it might have been good-looking women, or it might have been money. Who knows? To get your spot for your ass on that plane. So when the plane lands there, just like the first ship that landed in Japan, Admiral, what the hell the guy's name was, the idea is to come back with some business deals, right? And because you paid off to get on the plane, or we're a big contributor,
yeah,
it's going to be Wayne's Mining Company and not Matty Weber's that gets the first deal because you're on the plane and he's not. So the whole purpose, unbeknownst to the rest of us idiots, just like the person selling the hooch underneath the water in the corner for 30 years and nobody knew about it, the whole purpose of this is to benefit those people who contributed to the people that brought them over there. Now, the question is...
That's right.
Well, the question is now, what's the line? I mean, if the vice president's kids are there, or the president's kids, or the family, and say, President Madsen... God, your brother's in the mining business, isn't he? Well, yeah. Well, you know, we really need...
My brother would get in some kind of business, but...
But I'm saying, researched and he's in the mining business. How about we call him? Are you supposed to say no? Are you supposed to say yes? Are you supposed to say make sure that you get a fair deal from him and try out these other five guys, too, and give them their phone numbers as well? I mean, when you get to this level, I'm trying to deal with on the ignorance scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably a 4. At least I know it goes on. I mean,
well, I'll tell you where the line is drawn. The line is drawn on accepting something of value and not declaring it on your taxes. And that could also involve a foreign bank account, which you're supposed to declare on your returns. And also failure, if you get too tight with these foreign entities, failing to register as a foreign agent. If you look at the indictments and charges brought against people like Paul Manafort and Rick Gates and others, including the most recent one to plead guilty, the former Republican National Finance Committee Chair Elliot Broidy, this is what the charge sheet looks like: failure to register as an agent. I predicted Rudy Giuliani is soon going to be indicted for failing to register.
But now, is that just a BS law? Are you doing anybody any harm, or is it in my business? You failed to say that you were, you're an investment advisor when you told somebody they should buy IBM or not. I mean,
it depends on who you're advising. If you're advising a foreign government, for example, Saudi Arabia, and you're lobbying Congress to pass pro-Saudi Arabian legislation, the original intent of that law, of the FARA law, Foreign Agents Registration Act, was so people could determine, well, who does this lobbyist actually work for? And for journalists, I have many times gone to the FARA registration website to see, who's this guy working for? Oh, he's working for the Saudis, working for Israel, he's working for Turkey. You know, it's right there. And I've also discovered that the FARA website that's run by the Justice Department isn't always up to date. And I have colleagues, although I have never had to do it, they've physically gone to the Justice Department office to say, I want the file on this particular person. And that particular person may not show up on the website, but certainly the paperwork has been submitted to the Cognizant DOJ office. So it's a cat and mouse type of situation, catching these foreign lobbyists. But I'm glad the law is there, because, like I say, I found it an invaluable resource to determine, we've got former senator, so-and-so out here. Why is he pushing for this? Oh, he's working for them.
But, I mean, you could get if it was Wayne's brother's plumbing company, and all of a sudden they say, boy, you guys know an awful lot about plumbing, or mining company, and we got a board spot open, and your brother lands on the board. You know, on the face of it, I guess that could happen. I don't know the protocol. I mean, I'd sit there and say, all of a sudden, if they started getting, contact or government things on top of everything else, I mean, I'd have to like go through the thing to find out where my personal line would be. Yeah. But clearly, these guys' line is not where mine would be.
Well if the mining company is in Kazakhstan, that changes things, altogether, because, certain countries, the paying of bribes, money, and you don't have to be Barat to figure out what's going on in countries like Kazakhstan. It's a very nice place, according to him.
Well, what I'm trying to fish out, and I guess the answer is maybe you're just telling me what this could be the answer. I mean, let's put it this way. If I was on the board of a place in the Ukraine, a utility that I think doesn't have a pot to piss in, to be basically south side, and I'm making like $500,000 a year, versus the $1,000 a meeting I used to get at the CBOE to the tune of about $12,000 a year, I'd say, boy, I'm doing something. It seems to me like I work pretty hard for my $12,000, and now I'm getting this $500,000. I must be getting this.
If you pay your taxes on that money and you register as an agent for that particular utility, it's fine. It's legal. Nobody's saying that you can't represent, foreign interests. But where the line is drawn is, but if you do, you better comply with the FARA and you better comply with the tax law. It's no more complicated than that, but it's amazing how many people like Manafort and Giuliani, when they've got, as in Manafort's case, at least 100 LLCs, in, these offshore corporate confidentiality places and secret bank account locations, then you kind of figure, oh, well, you know, here, this guy's money laundering. Well, that's what he was doing.
Why do I have to, just out of curiosity, neither one of us are tax experts, with this new tax law that everybody's convinced, it's how stupid people are, collectively including me, they think that the new tax law made it more difficult for these companies to hide stuff overseas. It actually made it easier, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I got to laugh anytime I hear somebody in Washington either say we're going to simplify the tax code, you know, or we're going to make it easier for people to vote. That hasn't happened. You know, it's just these are bromides that are tossed out there for the masses to make them feel good. But yeah, any new tax code that the Republicans at least had anything to do with is obviously going to make it easier for firms and paid CEOs and whatnot to hide the money.
But I mean, if I'm the guy on the board, I would never be me. I have no desire to go over there. I suppose they'd want me there for at least one meeting. But if I'm getting this half a mil, why can't I have a Bermuda corporation where the corporation is my board work? It's my consulting firm, and the money goes there. Why do I have to ever have to repatriate that? I made it over there. I didn't make it here.
Well, if you're doing your business, it's the business, as with most of these, you know, the business isn't being conducted in Bermuda, it's being conducted in the United States.
I'm saying right now, my understanding of the new tax code is the part of the Microsoft business that if they were to build stuff and sell stuff in outer Zambolia, that none of that has to come here. It all stays in outer Zambolia. Now why can't I have a business in the Ukraine and I'm on the board from that business? What does that have to? And I never repatriate the money. But every time I go to Europe, I spend the money from there. Why do I need to bring it here?
Well, I think you know, it's the form, and I always fill out, sign, and send, and always states to you: do you have control over any foreign bank accounts? And you're supposed to say if you do, yes. That doesn't mean necessarily it will be taxed, but it has to be declared that foreign interests.
I'm just saying that the way I understood it, if a corporation did the least little bit to isolate the stuff overseas, they never had to bring it back. Okay. They never had to bring it back. And you're saying that individuals don't have the same, I'll say the term flexibility. How's that for being nice?
Yeah, not according to what I, you know, what I've seen. I always wonder, Jesus, in some cases my books have been published by foreign publishers. I guess I could say, well, you know, if the book was published in Germany and all the sales are made in Germany, why do I have to pay taxes on it? But I have to account for that income that comes in from Germany, so I do, of course. It's what the law says you have to do.
What I'm saying,
I'm not talking a lot of money here either.
What I'm saying, I guess we're beating this one up because I have stuff to talk about, but if the money never comes here, because I think that's the deal they made with the corporation. So if I'm on the board of an Italian pasta sauce company and I gave them the secret ingredient and I get a 50 grand a year from being on a board, and I go over and I keep myself a little apartment over there, and I got a nice little Ferrari, and everything's right there. I have dinner, I bring Manny Weber with, I buy him wine and dinner, and while we're over there, and I piss away the whole 50 grand right there. Why do I have to?
That's fine. What makes it even better would be if the country does not have a mutual tax information sharing treaty with the United States. So,
there can't be too
as
many
long
hours.
As that was the case, I guess you don't have to worry.
Well, the answer is I got nothing. I made 50 and I spent 50. Just saying. Of course, how do you spend $500,000 in the Ukraine? That's a big tab at some of those clubs. All right, so who's gonna win? If I were to guess the angst in the market regarding the election, is it all White House or is it half White House, half Senate? Is it two thirds, one third? What is it?
Well, I always find it interesting as we get close to these presidential elections, all these polling companies that come out of the woodwork, and you never even hear from them. I always thought it was like, oh, some college somewhere has a bunch of poli-sci students that have to, you know, work off their tuition assistance. So, hey, go call a bunch of people. Hey, Umpty Squat College poll has so-and-so leading. You know, I never heard of this poll. So that happens. I don't put much faith in the polls. I mean, after 2016, who should? I think it's kind of interesting that today they were talking about a big victory party at the Trump Hotel in Washington, and it looked like Trump was going to be there. As always, candidates, even if they're incumbent presidents, they're always found in whatever hotel is sponsoring their victory party, either their concession speech or their victory speech. Trump just canceled his appearance at the Trump Hotel, which I find is very telling. I believe that Biden's going to win. I think the Republicans will lose the Senate. Democrats will pick up probably 15 to 20 seats in the House from what they already have. I think it's going to be a blue wave night. Now, wave as opposed to tsunami, I don't know. I can't make that prediction, but I think there's going to be some interesting upsets in the Senate.
Who's really in charge?
Lindsey Graham.
Who's really in charge of the Democratic Party? We know it's not Joe.
Well, I mean, the DNC chair is Tom Perez. Now, a lot of people think that he's basically a cipher for Bernie Sanders, but Biden wins. Biden becomes the titular head of the Democratic Party. So,
yeah, but Biden didn't tell everybody else to quit, and they all quit. Somebody did.
I think that Tom Perez will not be the chairman after a Biden victory, though. I think they'll be looking around, of course, if it's a huge win, I don't know how you can tell a guy like Perez, the head of the Democratic Party, hey, you're fired. Hey, thanks for a great victory, you're fired. They'll find some job for him, maybe in the administration.
What, is our girl Valerie Jarrett going to come back in a huge spot?
I'm sorry?
Is Valerie Jarrett going to come back in some huge spot?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I think it's very interesting that, you know, we see Obama making a lot of speeches on behalf of Biden, but we don't see Bill or Hillary Clinton. And I think that was a wise decision on the part of the Biden campaign to keep their distance there, because, look, she still has very high negative ratings, even by people who are voting for Biden this time, who voted for Trump the last time. So I think they're wise to keep their distance. I also think they're going to keep their distance from a lot of the people associated sort of personally with Barack Obama. Not Obama himself, but people like Valerie Jarrett, certainly. I don't think we're going to see her in any... she might get an ambassadorship. I don't know. But they seem to go to the big, money donors. I don't think we're going to... I think a Biden administration is going to be totally different as far as personnel is concerned from either the Obama or the Clinton administrations.
If Trump were to... get back in. I'll just be straight. Obviously, the Brexit, and I did some reading on that, and we talked about it. I did some work on that, and actually, Maddie did some work on the election here last time, and did some good work. I had some people from the Fed, my buddies from the Fed, I haven't seen for months, but that's another story. Went over, and they said in London, the Brexit was assured. The minute you got out of town, the minute you didn't even get out of town, as soon as you get on the train out of town, everybody wanted out of the. And the it appears that the polls totally missed, 2 million people that hadn't voted in a decade, so they weren't on anybody's list of likely voters, yet they all showed up. So the oopsie in the polls. Now,
yeah.
In the here, clearly in some of the states that it was the Michael Moore tape. The people that had the current administration, well, current Republican or Democrat, that had taken everything away from, you know, middle America, that their last vote was to say screw you and vote for Trump. So people, and Matt Weber did the work and said 8 million people that came out to vote, I don't know if they're minorities or not, that came out for the Obama election, did not come out, is it 8 or 6 maybe, did not come out for the Democratic election this time, and that's why, even though, yeah.
Well, also there's newly registered voters who weren't old enough to vote in 2016.
Right, so, yeah.
And they're turning out apparently in heavy numbers in places like Texas.
Okay, so if there's a Trump upset this time, I'm not saying there's going to be, if there is, where does that come from? Because it has to come from some place that it doesn't look like it's going to be 6 million people less, because it looks to me like more people are voting, so I don't, just in gross numbers, I don't see that as the cause this time. Would it have to be the even more silent people? I
don't think there are any left. I think he's only catered to his base, which he hasn't grown his voter pool at all. I don't think there's any votes left. I mean, but you're right about the people who stayed home in 2016 who had voted for Obama in the past, and that's, you know, that's why you saw a lack of turnout in Detroit and Philadelphia that gave both Michigan and Pennsylvania to Trump. But you know, rather than try to reach out and expand his base, Trump has done the opposite. He's actually managed to shrink it, especially with veterans. And I live here in the I-4 corridor in Florida, which is the proverbial swing region that determines who wins this state. After calling veterans and those who died in war losers and suckers, I know from some of my own neighbors, they voted for Trump last time. They're voting for Biden this time. That was a bridge too far for them.
If I had to guess, I put myself sort of in this camp. As you know, I've never ever been a Trump guy. I was happy to boo him when he sang the national anthem years ago, really feel. If you're in the Chicago area and you're lifelong union Democrat kind of guy, Paul Simon, Adlai Stevenson kind of Democrat, which is me, I am absolutely appalled by what the party represents right now, to the point where I can't vote for Trump, but I almost, these guys are, they're just as bad. I just don't know how yet. I think I am not alone in that assessment. Not alone at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I think both parties are changing. I think the Republican Party has basically become a Trump cult party. And as far as the Democrats are concerned, look at all these Republicans that are now supporting Biden, and Biden's reaction to that, saying, oh, I think I might be able to find some positions in my administration as this reach across. Now, it's not reaching across to the Trump people. They're too far gone. But these are people like John Kasich, who's supporting Trump. I don't know, Rick Snyder, the former Republican governor of Michigan, that Flint water thing, I don't think he'll find a job unless Biden says, here, I'm going to put you in charge of personally going out and fixing all these water utilities. That will have an impact of some sort in the Democratic Party, especially if we see some of these former Republicans deciding, well, there's no place for me. Where do I go? Third parties in this country never make it. And we may see them actually becoming Democrats, and what the net effect of that would be to move the Democratic Party more to the center.
Well, but you've been around longer than me doing this stuff, and I'm going to say that people would always look back and they'll say, hey, Bush had both houses of Congress. He didn't do squat.
Yeah.
Obama had both houses of Congress, other than jamming through some health care bill, which was moderately horrible.
Yeah, and so did Trump for 2 years, yeah. And he didn't do anything.
He didn't do squat. So it because of what you're talking about, when the Tea Party guys landed in Washington, the biggest schism, and how's that for a nice word, Manny? The biggest schism in Washington was not between the Democrats and Republicans. It was between the Republicans and the Republicans, right? In the same way, in Obama's first 2 years, the biggest fight was between people in the Democratic Party.
Eventually drove John Boehner to resign the speakership and head down to Florida to become a lobbyist for the marijuana industry.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah,
interesting what became of him.
Well.
A guy from a conservative district in Ohio, then now he's shilling for pot.
Well, let's continue after the break, because I think what you just described, if the Democrats win both houses, it's going to be those people who think they put Biden over the top and want the party to go more toward the middle like it used to be, and all the other people from the totally lunatic left, it's going to say, wait a minute, this is our party. What do you people think you're doing? That could easily be the fight for the next 2 years. NASDAQ futures down 33 now. We're not coming back here. Or at least not now. NASDAQ futures down 142. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Lone Rock Based Action Jacks. I'm Tom Allies, Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. Wayne Manson with us as well. We have a U.S. personal income rose 0.9% in September versus 0.4% increase expected. We have some people that came back to work. And the economy picked up a little bit. I'm curious to get those numbers the more they were at the beginning of the year. Maybe we'll try and do that for Monday. S&P futures down 30, 70, make that 31. NASDAQ futures down 139. Dow futures down 299. Individual stocks, and we have Amazon down 51. Kind of disappointed a little bit. The one that didn't is Google's up $100. We have Apple is down 462 after being up for a while. So those were the big stacks last time. We see what the hell Facebook is. There it is. Facebook's down 383. So they're kind of the one that not much of going on this morning. Over in Europe, we were quiet earlier. Now we're not. DAX down 71.6%. FTSE down 25.4%. These guys are sinking as we are now sinking a little bit. CAC around the only one down 167. Unchanged. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 354, 1.5%. Shanghai down 48, 1.5%. Hang Seng down 479, 1.9%. So everybody's down over there. As a way of a review, yesterday was a bounce day, although it looks right now like it was a dead cat bounce. Dow Jones was up 139.5%. S&P was up 39, 1.1%. NASDAQ was up 180, 1.6%. Bonds. We have the 30-year 0.82. That's as high as we've seen in a while. So it's still creeping. I think some of that might be inflation. Who knows? We won't know for a while on that. 1.63 minus 0.63. Japan positive 0.04. So that's actually one more tick up today as well. Oil, this is a bad story. On 14 cents, 36.03. I'm going to say a week ago Monday we were 41.5. Something like that. I got to check the date. But we're down 15% in probably 10 trading days. Brent down 5 cents, 37.60. Natural gas, however, is going the other way. That's 3.29. So, yeah, when we talked about 2.28 being a bottom in there, what a buy. Wow. RBOB 104, which is way down on the RBOB. So be prepared to get gas probably under $2 here pretty soon, at least in the burbs. Gold up $12, 1880, still under 19. Silver up 28 cents, 23.64. So it's a bounce there, but it's down so low, Matty, it's starting to look like up. How's that sound? What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report. Still working on that rollover crash that happened in the northwestern suburbs, Route 53. On the eastbound side, still just two lanes are getting by on the left side there because of a rollover five-axle dump truck that's blocking the two right lanes that happened earlier this morning. This is on Route 53 eastbound just before Beisterfield Road, which is exit 4 on the eastbound side of Route 53. So this has been going on for the better part of a couple of hours. And expect solid delays on Route 53 to the point that you'll want to avoid that if you can because it's going to be a while to get this rollover five-axle dump truck off of the road. No issues of coming in on the Edens or Kennedy, however. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Only other crash in the area is on the Tri-State. It looks like out to the southwest. Tri-State southbound, just before getting onto the Stevenson, there's a crash that's blocking the two left lanes, and this is causing delays that are growing right now as this just happened a few minutes ago. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, we'll see some sunshine. It'll look nice from indoors looking out the window, but it's cold and blustery out there, a high of just 42 with wind chills in the upper 20s or low 30s. Right now it's clear and 34 going up to a high of 42. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine and 87 today. Right now it's clear and 57. In sports, as we talked about last hour, the White Sox made a splash by bringing back a familiar face, the Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa, who has won three World Series, one in the American League, two in the National League, will return to his original team, the White Sox, who fired him 34 years ago, to take over the young upstart Sox, who made the playoffs this year for the first time in 12 years. And the 76-year-old is the second oldest manager ever to take over a team. Jack McKeon being the oldest.
Are we bringing back Hawk as the GM?
Good question. Lastly, Thursday Night Football last night, it was the Falcons over the Panthers, 25-17. Chief.
I have one word of advice to you as you go play golf on this cold day.
Yes.
Fairways and greens, bud. Fairways and greens.
Damn right. And I haven't played in about a month, so
Sometimes it's a good thing, though. So we'll
this
see.
Is not, and don't be one of the cheap screws that's looking for 20 minutes for your 40-cent ball in the rough today. Just let it go.
I never do that.
Just let it go.
My brother, by the way, is the one that goes into the woods and then comes back out with like 12 balls.
Our buddy Dr. J, I love him. I'd say, Dan, how'd you do on balls? Well, I lost four and I found six. I'm net two.
Plus two on the day.
Yeah, plus two. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's
Someone to say, how'd you shoot today? Oh, plus two.
Plus
oh,
two.
Wow, you must be good. No, I I lost four and found six.
Wayne, Kevin would be remiss with me if I did not ask you your opinion on, I've gotten to the point with the guys who were on the show, you being one of them, I'm looking a little more critically, shall we say it, at the news media, especially with the COVID. If there isn't 45 articles, whatever opinion you may have about COVID and masks and this and that and lockdowns, whatever opinion you may have, you can find two or three lunatic scientists or allegedly quoted as scientists by some article someplace and prove your case. I've never seen anything as crazy as this in my life.
Yeah, there's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there, and I don't like these so-called media operations that even give them, the time of day. But, this is no longer, Chicago had, three major newspapers, and, at least they vetted that this is at one time, Daily News being one, and the Trib and the Sun-Times, but at least they vetted the type of people they quoted. But now you've got, blogs and webs and podcasts. There's literally thousands of these news operations, and some of them get into their own ecosystem of trading back and forth the same nonsense.
Are you saying the Chicago American was not legit?
Criticism. Pardon?
Are you saying the Chicago American was not legit?
I just not the one that I think of when I think of the big three at one time there.
Yeah, the Daily News was clearly the.
This is the days of Bob McCormick at the Trib and Frank Knox at the Daily News.
Well, the Daily News had the biggest World War II overseas contingent, didn't they?
I was just looking at past presidential elections, and I got fixated on the 1940 election, which is a very interesting election because it's very similar to what we see today. FDR running for his third term. The war was brewing. Everybody knew it was coming. It already started in Europe in 1939. But everybody knew the U.S. was going to have to get in and get in on the side of the Brits. Except for there was these America Firsters who tried to take over the Republican Party in 1940. Led by Charles Lindbergh, but quite a few others. Wilkie, who never held office in his life, he was the head of a big utility company. He got popular because he took on FDR over the New Deal, specifically the creation of Tennessee Valley Authority, which he didn't think was the right thing to do. But Wilkie's on the campaign trail, and he starts saying, I agree with Roosevelt, I think we are going to have to get in the war on the side of the British. Well, there was this huge schism, and of course, using your word there, schism in the Republican Party in 1940. So what eventually happened, of course, Roosevelt wins re-election. FDR turns around and names Wilkie as his personal representative to Britain to oversee the delivery of the destroyers in the Lend-Lease deal, which was absolutely opposed by these non-interventionists like Lindbergh and the other Republicans. And then FDR turns around and makes Herbert Hoover's Secretary of State the Secretary of War. Frank Knox, who was the publisher of the Daily News, becomes Secretary of the Navy. And here Wilkie is FDR's personal emissary. It was so bad that the Republican Party threw them all out.
From what little, I have a question I want to ask you, I hope I don't forget it. If you read that history of that era, which I know you have, and I've been zeroing in on it myself, it's pretty fascinating. Well, my next jump is one I know nothing about that I think is even more fascinating, probably. That's how we all got started. I want to start reading more about Washington's era and how he was able to borrow money from this guy to pay off these mercenaries, to get people to... He had to go recruit guys and pay them to fight before he even went to the fight. That's like George Halas and the Bears. That's a lot different than today, when you actually, your army shows up, at least when you want them there. But a lot of the stuff that Roosevelt did, I'm not going to say Social Security and a couple others, really were Hoover's ideas. And Hoover was essentially a brilliant man. Could have been one of the smartest men that ever was a president. But this all hit him, and he couldn't... A lot of stuff he wanted to do, he almost leaned a little towards the Roosevelt side, and government needs to do more, but the people in his party were dead set against it. But he did try some stuff. I mean, some of the early stuff that Roosevelt did was actually...
It was too late. Too little and too late at that point in time. The other interesting thing about Wendell Willkie was that he came around to support the New Deal, including the Tennessee Valley Authority. So today we see these Republicans who can't stand Trump, the Kasichs and all. And I just wonder, they don't have any future in the Trump Party, but could they conceivably become part of a Biden administration, certainly like happened with FDR's third term, where a lot of Republicans joined his cabinet.
If the Republicans get washed, who's going to surface as the head of the new Republican Party? Because they're going to have to put something together.
I don't think that the Trump people are going to concede anything. I think they're going to keep their hands on the reins of power there.
Boy, anyway, hey, a question I have for you is, I know why Joe Kennedy, who had the morals of an eel, he liked the idea of a... I don't think he had any personal love for Hitler, although I don't know. He liked the idea...
Well, he didn't have any personal animosity towards him either.
Well, his idea was a united Europe would be one customer. Wouldn't that be great? Basically, it was his shtick of the whole world.
Especially it was the Third Reich.
What was the love fest between Lindbergh and the Nazi Party? Well, what was all that about?
Well, Lindbergh, interesting thing. Lindbergh, may have been because of his Swedish background. He had a lot of friends who were German Americans. By the way, German Americans were the largest ethnic group in the United States prior to the outbreak of the war. And the biggest group of foreign cuisine restaurants in this country were German restaurants. Now that changed dramatically after the war.
There were more Germans than Irish or Polish.
And I like German food. Of course, my doctor doesn't think I should be taking in a lot of those carbohydrates. But Lindbergh was not the only one, but he sort of affiliated with this group of America Firsters, at Wall Street, a lot of the Wall Street people. Avril Harriman was in that group. Interesting that he became a doyen of the Democratic Party later on. Lindbergh really then, I think, there were some well-meaning non-interventionists like fighting Bob La Follette, who was a Democrat, but he was in... But Lindbergh really, I think, decided that he liked a lot of the propaganda coming not only out of Berlin, but out of people like Henry Ford, who was out-and-out pro-Nazi. Published his own newspaper that was pro-Nazi, the Dearborn Independent. So I think Lindbergh swallowed, drank the Kool-Aid, and... from that time on, FDR and even some Republicans just didn't trust Lindbergh. Now, there was a plan to run him for president in 1940. Went to Willkie, but a lot of the pro-Germans really wanted Lindbergh to be their standard bearer. And an author named Philip Roth wrote a book about that, Alternate History, where Lindbergh, in fact, called The War on America. Where Lindbergh, in fact, is the candidate and becomes president. And, of course, it's a whole different timeline. But yeah, I think we have people like that today. Only, you know, substitute Russia for Germany, and you know, we have people that think Putin's the greatest thing.
I was listening to, and this is only something that maybe you would be. I was going to say dumb enough, touched enough to listen to like I do. I was watching this YouTube thing, and they showed some interview from these guys, these German historians from, they got to all be dead. I mean, maybe not. If not, they're totally fossil faces. But they got three guys, and they're talking about Hitler in the 30s. And they said, you know, the U.S. wasn't doing so hot in 34, 35, 36. He goes, if somebody would have ran the guy over 6 months before he invaded Poland, he would have gone down, bar none, as the greatest leader of the 20th century. From 1932 to 1938, nobody around anywhere else in the world increased employment, increased per capita income, increased anything like he did. He did way better than the U.S., did better.
He was Time Magazine's Man of the Year, I think, twice before the outbreak of the war.
He said if somebody would have... If he'd have had a grabber and fallen over about 8 weeks before the Polish campaign, and there never would have been a war, he'd have been the number one leader in the 20th century. That's pretty scary to even consider, but
yeah,
it's amazing that don't think these people don't have some talent, even though they might be lunatics. Right? I mean,
that's true. That's true. I mean, history is replete with examples of. Talented orators and generals who were also bloodthirsty tyrants.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that, you know, there's generals that were, if your kid was in the army, you'd want your kid underneath that guy because he had the best chance of your kid coming home, even though in any sense of political correctness, you know, the guy, God knows how he treated other people, women, guys, his parents. I mean, you know what I'm saying? People are not always...
No.
You know, it's just unfortunate. Right.
I was looking at, you know, MacArthur in World War II in the Pacific was criticized by many people, including allies, for his failure to think out of the box. Therefore, we lost sizable numbers of troops because of that failure to think out of the box. Whereas Patton, who did think out of the box, some people say that... you know, certain quarters that thought he was way too successful in his campaigns. But yeah, I mean, and I've talked to people that would, you know, worship the ground that both MacArthur and Patton walked on, albeit for different reasons.
All I remember is from the book I read about George Marshall, how he absolutely insisted that he would send him, was it B-24s or B-17s, that he absolutely needed somewhere else. But MacArthur had such a big stick that he sent him all these things, and he actually warned MacArthur, the Pearl Harbor part, you know, whether they got warned, didn't warn, I mean, history seems to show that it was a surprise there, but it clearly was no surprise in the Philippines, like 5 hours later. And MacArthur did not get Marshall's planes up in the air and save them, and they all got shelved on the ground, and Marshall never forgave that, ever. Said, what's he doing? You know, what is he doing?
I ran across an interesting story the other day, which I actually put up on my website. And there was a battle in New Guinea where MacArthur failed to understand Japanese motives and intentions. But the Japanese got so close to the capital, Port Moresby, they could see the lights at night from the town. But in one of the battles, final battles for New Guinea, the U.S. lost a tremendous number of troops, and so did the Australians. But at one point in time during what was called the Battle of Buna, which was up on the northern coast of New Guinea, a cockatoo that had, you know, been through hell flies into behind American lines and lands in some foxhole. And the guy who adopted it as a pet, and he said, I fed it hardtack and bugs. He said, this cockatoo, who they called the general, they gave it the name the general, which I think is an indication that it could have come from the Japanese commander's headquarters and residence, general, a guy named General Hiru. This corporal says, this cockatoo was yammering all the time, but he said, I didn't know what it was saying because it was all in Japanese. Now, I would take that bird down to Army G2, MacArthur's headquarters, and get a Japanese linguist to copy down everything this cockatoo would say. Cause
you would think,
you might as well have a tape recorder because they have phenomenal memories, and they repeat exactly what they heard. So I said, in this case, not only did MacArthur fail to think out of the box, he failed to think out of the birdcage.
Can we go back to, because Kevin, not just because Kevin asked me to, because I only do what Kevin asked me to if it's a good idea, which it usually is. What is the state of journalism? I mean, the people on the right are all over. They think keeping the lid on the Biden, Hunter Biden, China, something thing. Now, I wouldn't. I guess I don't. Every time I find it hard to believe. I mean, I fight back with my right wing guys all the time that I find it hard to believe. At least maybe just hope. That it's not that orchestrated yet. Wayne, I have to say that my friends, you included, have gotten me reading every article with a little more jaundiced eye. And there's a piece of misinformation or something that's left out of every single one. Is this what they're teaching in journalism, or is this what you need to get a job?
I think they got to teach critical thinking more, not only in journalism, but in every other, educational program. For example, we now know that this so-called Hunter Biden dossier that Tucker Carlson said, it got lost in the mail. Now he says, there was never anything to it. Just forget about Hunter Biden. That the source was a guy named Martin Aspen, who was a fake person. They had a photo that was artificially intelligence derived. And Martin Aspen is supposedly some Swiss security guy that comes up with this 49-page or so dossier incriminating Hunter Biden on all this stuff. Well, think about it. Martin Aspen is a spoonerism for James Bond's favorite assigned vehicle, the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
James Bond MI6. Christopher Steele, MI6. I think they were basically trying to throw in a Steele dossier, only indicting Hunter Biden in this case, and it turned out to be a total fiasco. Excuse me.
Well, there's no doubt that the guy made buku bucks overseas. He wouldn't have done it if his old man wasn't Joe Biden. I mean, that to me is fairly obvious. I mean, or am I wrong?
A lot of that always goes on.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think Amy Carter was probably the only presidential offspring who didn't benefit.
Well, that's why earlier in the show I was trying to get, and by the way, you helped out. You gave us a nice answer. How widespread is it? If every single time we send $500 million to some other country to 48 collected or connected people's kids follow the money to the new place, is it that bad or is it not quite so bad?
Well, there's I think the laws need to be tightened up on this because look at these Trump kids. I mean that is if you talk about nepotism and profiting. Ivanka Trump, particularly, I think the whole thing needs to be revisited. Now, there are presidential official delegations where they invite, leaders of industry and others along. Then there's congressional delegations, what they call CODELs, not so much taking a lot of private industry people, but some of that. And that's all permitted. Under the guise of let's expand American trade, new market potentials, and all these other things. But I do think that these laws need to be taken.
Wayne, I gotta ask, final question. Final question. We have 30 seconds. Do we need more laws, or do we need a Sam, what was his name? Where he said, I don't know if it's legal or not, but damn it, it ain't right. Do we need just a little more moral somewhere?
Well, maybe the laws are sufficient. Maybe we just need people, in the enforcement, and investigation branches of government to start doing their job a little bit better.
Boy, it'd be pretty hard to start investigating all your bosses. Anyway, Wayne, thank you very much. Been too long. We'll have you back after the election.
Okay.
Do you have your bullets?
Sure enough.
You got your bullets? You left. S&P Futures down 22.
Well, no one knows what you're talking about when you say that.
Well, the Walmarts are closing. I got to go get my bullets today. Just saying. I don't have any gun, but is a bullet so any good without a gun? I don't think so. Anyway, we'll be right back Monday morning, Stocks and Jocks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.